Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome not just a very, very accomplished entrepreneur, but someone who has been an Olympic professional rower from London, UK, Mr. Steve Robotham. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Steve is the CCO and founder of Navigator, and we'll talk about Navigator. He is a professional rower for 11 years and has competed in two Olympic Games. He's won the bronze at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. So, Steve, let me start by asking you, tell me about your own amazing journey from a professional rower and how you transitioned to an entrepreneur of a tech startup.
Yeah, I was very fortunate, very lucky to be, I mean, I'm sitting down now, but to be born quite big and tall and big lungs and a stupid mindset that is willing to go through an immense amount of pain. So yeah, I was very lucky to perform on a global stage in rowing and compete at two Olympics. And as you say, I won a bronze in the 2008 Olympics. Mm. You learn a huge amount through such a unique environment, right? I don't think there's anywhere else in the world that you can replicate an Olympic final. When you're sitting there at the start line of an Olympic final, you've basically got 6 minutes of your life in front of you. Mm. And if you come fourth or worse, then you effectively walk away with nothing, right?
Correct.
And there's throughout our lives, there's a lot of moments that stick with us, memories. And I just remember it was just before the 2008 Olympic Games, and it was my first Olympics. I actually got kicked out of the Olympics just before the Athens game 4 years previously. But I remember sitting down, we were in Switzerland on high altitude training, and there was a double Olympic gold medalist that I was having lunch with, rower. And I just said, you know, how do you prepare for that final? How do you mentally, you know, go through all of the processes and get yourself in the best possible shape? And he basically just said, nothing can prepare you, Steve. Like, you're going to go through your own journey because it's you, and you just have to back yourself and believe in yourself. He talked about what he did, but obviously it's very personal to me. And that stuck with me because I'm a big believer that I wasn't born a dad. I wasn't born an entrepreneur. I wasn't born an Olympic rower. You just learn, right? And you adapt. And as long as you're you and you're resourceful enough, you know, you will get through it. And obviously, you know, I went through my own experience and went through my own experience in life.
Mm.
But yeah, like I said, you learn a huge amount in a very unique environment. Mm. There's also, you know, I want to point out, there's a lot of stuff that's not useful in life, right? For example, in sport, everything's binary. You win or lose, right? You come Correct. First, second, third, you win, you don't, you lose, right? It's black and white, either or. And in life, in a business, it's not like that. There's multiple mm. scenarios. Mm. Obviously, in sport, you're an incredibly selfish. Life was about me for 11 years. Mm. No weddings, no funerals, no birthday parties. Everything was about me. Steve was here. It's all about him, his routine, his calendar, whatever he needs to prepare himself for that Olympic final, right? And my big, you know, I rowing wasn't my passion, right? Sport, I love sport. I tennis and football and rugby, etc. I love sport. I love competing. I was incredibly competitive from a very young and early age. But I didn't want it to define my life, right? I was 11 years, it's wonderful, but I knew that I was going to retire at 30. It's like strange you retire at 30. It's like, well, what's next, right? Mm-hmm. And it was all about then, what did I learn in sport and how can I transition that into the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
And you go on this incredible journey and as I say, you figure out that a lot of stuff's not useful, you figure out what stuff is useful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just one of those people that just never sets limits for myself or for mm-hmm. others. And I just wanted to explore and find out how good I could be at leadership and entrepreneurship or business or whatever it might be, mm. right? So, and that, let's say, I thought that I would come out for the Olympics. I'm a medalist. Every business on the planet would want to hire me. Oh, my God, I'm such a valuable commodity. And actually, mm. no one did.
Mm.
So I took it right back to the foundations, right back to the start. I just became a salesperson, right, at the bottom of the business mm. Because I knew that I wanted to learn as much as I could about business, apply that to what I learned in sport, and then see what that where that journey took me. And like I say, we're very fortunate here to be running a global business in Navigator that was born in a pandemic. But yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about it, it's been one hell of a journey, right?
I can imagine. And at what stage did you decide that you wanted to be a rower?
When I was at uni, I when I was a kid, anything with a ball or bat hit, I would play everything, cricket, anything, right? Yeah. And I always thought that I could compete on a world stage or at the top level in professionalism. I just was never good enough for any of these sports, right? Mm. So I went to university and fell into rowing and suddenly became quite good at it. And within 2 years, I was in the Great Britain under 23 team. And as I say, I think it was more my mindset that I took into it of like, anything's possible. I'm not going to limit myself. I always intended to just do it for a year. Really, the reason that I went into it is because I was told that it would make you strong and fit, and all the women in university like loved it, right? So I was like, okay, cool, right? Two great reasons to do it. I got strong and fit, and no women liked it. So it was like, okay, one was true. And then I just got better and better and better. And I just went, okay, you know, and there's a big decision because I did economics. I was always going to go into the city and finance and do this and da-da-da. But I was like, I made a big decision after 3 years of uni when I got into the under 23 team. I want to go for the Athens Olympics. I want to test myself. I want to see how far I can go in life. Mm. And I'm prepared to fail. I'm prepared to see where my limit is, to see where the ceiling is, to see how good I can be. Mm. I think that mindset, that attitude took me into, as I say, 11 years of professional sport. I suffered massive failure coming out of 2003 when I left university. Mm. So 8 weeks before the Athens Olympics, I got kicked out of the team. My dreams were over, and a big decision to make at that point, whether I was good enough or not, whether I wanted to pursue my dream. Mm. And obviously 4 years later, I was sitting at the start line of an Olympic final in Beijing and won a bronze medal. So I was justified in my mindset of my inner conviction about myself and belief that I was good enough.
You must have got some amazing mental strength to have gone through so many ups and downs and then come back with a medal.
Yeah, as I say, my super strength is what's up here, right? I'm not the physically fittest. I'm not the biggest. I was never the best technically in rowing. At school, I was never the cleverest. I was not, but I was prepared to do what it took. And I think in life, I often see in a lot of people that we say a lot of things. I want to lose weight. I want to go and do this. I want to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. But are we prepared to do what it takes to get there? Am I prepared to eat less, exercise more to lose weight? Am I prepared to, we were sitting on rowing machines for 6 hours a day up mountains for 3 weeks. It was soul destroying, but am I prepared to do what it takes in order to sit on that start line and know that I'm done everything I can to win an Olympic gold medal? And I'm prepared to do that. My determination, my discipline, my ability to push myself into places that others simply won't go has enabled me to get to where I want to get to. So you're right. Yeah, you've got to, I think if we're going to say, for me, that's integrity. If we're going to say we're going to do something, if we say we want something, entrepreneurship or love or happiness or whatever it might be, we have to be prepared to do what it takes in order to get there. And in sport particularly, I was definitely prepared to do it. And ultimately, I suffered a failure because I got a bronze medal and I didn't get the gold medal. I was there to win the gold, right? Mm. But I left everything there. I did everything I could. That was the ultimate race. And I prepared myself to... For the 6 minutes of my that would determine Amazing. The rest of my life.
Amazing! What a powerful story. Thank you for sharing it. Steve, let's now move to Navigator. You're building a tech unicorn. Tell me about the unicorn, and what made you move into this direction.
So I've been in this business, the wider Inc. business, for 8 years. It's a business that's exclusively in travel and has been for the last 27 years. It was a very similar moment to when I got kicked out of the Athens Olympics 2.5 years ago when the pandemic hit. We're in travel. It was the sector that was affected the most. We were the magazine business. We produced in-flight magazines, right, for 20-odd airlines globally. Mm. Our lights got turned out. We went from $100 million turnover to zero. Like, we were hemorrhaging money flying out the door, right? And you have that moment where you go, well, either I crumble and I run away from this and I don't believe in myself, or what can I do about it? And I looked inside myself at that moment, as I did back in 2004 with the Olympics. And I thought, do I still believe in the vision that we've got as a business? Do I still believe in myself and the people around me and the business and the CEOs of this wider business? Are we capable of achieving this? Absolutely. Okay, cool. What have we got around us? What resources? Let's just get going. Mm-hmm. So we gave birth to the Navigator business. So we went from a print business to a digital business overnight.
Mm-hmm.
We got this bit of technology. We started building it, selling it, building an entire business around it. Stupidly, I've created it globally. Like most entrepreneurs would create it, like, you know, a small test case, or I've got one client, one, I'm going to do it here, make it successful, and then build it. My mindset is, I say, limitless. It's a strength and weakness of mine, but we're now a global business with offices in the US, London, Singapore, and Malaysia.
Hmm.
But it excites me. And it's not necessarily, like I say, it's not necessarily the rowing that excited me. Hmm. It's not a sport that I wanted to get into. I don't necessarily love advertising technology, and I love travel, but airlines, am I excited by working with airlines? Not really. But what I do is I get to create a culture and environment, build something that, and be part of a journey that, that we can all be part of, right? Mm. And that it's going to be achieved through my team, right? I'm just the visionary. I'm just the guy that looks after that vision and is the steward of an idea, but it's actually executed through my team. So yeah, we were kind of forced into it, very much like 2004 when I got kicked out of the Olympics. The pandemic hit, we had to do something. So we gave birth to a business. And since then, I've just used my mindset of and my skills and those of around me to take this business to where it is today and obviously build it into a $1 billion valuation that it will become in the future.
Amazing. And, you know, when you were telling me about your preparation for the Olympics, you said for 11 years, it was everything about Steve. How did you transition from someone who was completely centric or centered on yourself into such an amazing delegator, a visionary, who was basically now saying, I'm the boss, you guys go out and do it, and I'm going to be, as I used to say in my business days, I'm the goalkeeper, and I'll make sure nobody can shoot any goals. What was that transition like?
Yeah, it's a great question. Thank you. So self-admittedly, I went through a very, very dark period of my life post-retirement from sport. I felt I lost my identity, my purpose, bordering on depression, you know. Struggled with life, my wife, my kids, etc. It was a tough time, right? And then really I found that true happiness and fulfillment comes through others, right? Mm. It's like I say, it's how much do I give? How do I turn up every day? I love affecting change. I love creating something special, but through other people and helping other people achieve what they want to achieve. And the more that I started leading people in the right way, in an authentic way, the more they started responding to me, the more special and happy and fulfilled we all felt, right?
Mm.
But it's a difficult journey because I feel that the world is, like, we've rewarded throughout history ego and greed. Like, I see very few examples of great leadership in this world, particularly through the people like politicians and you know, watching a documentary on FIFA, for example. It's just... I never want to be that kind of person because I look inside myself and my values and what I stand for. And one of the big things is sharing it with others, being part of a team environment. Mm. It was a difficult transition, if I'm not going to lie, because I have trust issues. I think I'm the best person to do it. I know that if I look, I control it, I can achieve it, I can do it. So the delegation, the, you know, not knowing what's going on in my business, like allowing other people to do stuff and to be in charge of things and to fail and to learn and grow, etc. It was a really tough journey for me, but I think I didn't go from A to Z. I went from A to B to C to D. It was a journey, right? It was a transition, like you said. I gradually found out that that was what made me happy, and actually that what I was quite good at in a lot of ways, and how people responded and constantly asking for their feedback as well, which is a weird thing. And something that I did take that was in sport, because in sport, you get constant feedback. I've got a coach cycling by the side of my boat with a megaphone 24 hours a day, just giving me feedback. I love feedback. It's like the only way we can get better. Mm. So I'm constantly asking my team, how I can help you, how I can get better, when I did this, what did you that make you feel, all of that kind of stuff, because it's all about them. And I know that the $1 billion valuation will be achieved. I can do it multiple different ways. I can shout to people, I can make them feel bad, I can get there through fear, through, you know, through creating this toxic environment. That's not who I want to be. Ultimately, I want to be on my deathbed and know that I've achieved through others. I've made an impact to others, and I've created something special through other people. So yeah, I'm still on a journey, and I don't think we ever stop. I don't think we will ever stop as human beings.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And you know, you, as you're creating this global business with multiple offices, what have been some of your own challenges and learnings as you've scaled up?
I think every strength is a weakness and every weakness is a potential strength.
Correct.
This limitless mindset of like anything's possible. So yeah, let's just get 16 like travel partners globally, airlines, online travel agents, etc. You know, it's every time zone in the world. I'm a limited resource, right? We're not funded $150 million. We've got $150. So time is a huge challenge. Focus. I mean, and I know that you'll know this, but it's like, there's so much I can do. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think as humans, we feel that we're failing because it's like, well, I can do that, so I should be doing it. But I've learned that actually it's not a matter of whether I can do it. It's a matter of whether I should do it and where my priorities and my focus is lay. So there's a definite challenge around prioritization and focus. Communication is a massive thing. And I think that most things break down, most challenges occur through lack of communication. And that's either the wrong communication or just no communication. So there's, as a leader, as an entrepreneur, you're like, I just want to, you can't communicate too much, right? But when you're in different time zones, that's incredibly challenging. And look, one of the biggest things as well is the doubters. It's the people that feel that you're not going to get there and will get in your way and slow you down, and how you deal with that, right? How you stay in your faith, your conviction that what you're doing is right, and you've got this ultimate goal in mind. So yeah, I think scaling is like, you know, there's just 3 million things that you can do at any one time.
Correct.
How you communicate, how you turn up every day, how you lead your team, what culture and environment you want to create. And then, yeah, how you communicate that vision constantly on a daily basis and stay on track, I think, is a huge challenge.
Fascinating. My next question is, you know, based on all your amazing experiences, your ups and your downs, what would you say is one quality that successful people have?
I think success is a definition that is individual. Like, we all have our own definition of what success looks like. But for me, how I've become successful in my definition and what I see in others, there's a common thread of conviction or belief. No matter what, you'll know this in entrepreneurship particularly, you feel that you're on the moon one day and then you're in the depths of despair the next day, right? The journey is so up and down. But the one thing, no matter what happens, is that you have this inner conviction and belief that what you're doing is right and the vision that you've set is going to be achieved.
Well said. So I've got time for two or three more questions. My next question to you, and these are some questions my viewers would love to know because they're going to be for you personally. What would you say are 3 key milestones in your life or your career?
Being born.
Okay.
No, okay. Joking. Yeah. That moment in 2004 when I got dropped from the Olympic team, that was definitely a huge defining moment in my life. I learned so much from that. And that was massive failure. That was literally like my entire dream. I felt my entire reason for being had been taken away from me unfairly. I think that the second one would definitely be the 2008 bronze, right? 4 years later, because that taught me that no matter what happens, again, if you have that inner conviction, that belief, you can achieve anything in the world. And then the third one, really, and it's going to sound ironic, but I think the pandemic, right? If you take away, obviously, the human suffering, the health was, you know, something that we should hope we'll never go through. But the amount that I've learned over the last 2.5 years about myself and about business and about leadership, you couldn't buy that. There's no MBA that can teach you that. And I feel that I've been on this incredible journey as a business leader over the last 2.5 years that wouldn't have happened if it weren't for that trauma, I guess, in our business and when the pandemic hit.
Well said. Time for two more questions. My next one is, given the kind of work that you're doing and how you keep bouncing back so many times, who or what inspires you?
It's an interesting question. I've always had this belief that I can achieve anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it came from. I don't. It's not necessarily that my mum and dad are great people, and I don't necessarily hold someone in, like, I don't have a hero. You know, I don't have someone. What I do is I basically take all the great stuff from what I see from everyone. Right? You look how Amazon was built, or Apple, or whatever. I'm like, well, you know, Steve Jobs did a lot of great things, but he did a lot of not great stuff, right? So let's look at the great stuff. Can I take that within me and make me better, etc.? So, yeah, I think that it's just this inner belief, right? But the ability, I'm resourceful. I'm an incredibly resourceful human being. Like I say, just taking all the best bits from around me, and I'm just my head up, and I've got my eyes open, my ears open wide. I'm just going to take in as much. I'm going to process it and take what is good and allow me to move forward. And I'm prepared to fail because of it, right? And learn from that. So yeah, I think we call it bounce back ability, right? And you don't want to fail too often. I mean, if you're failing like 1,000 times at the same thing, life's telling you something. But ultimately, no one has achieved anything in this world without failure that's worth having.
Well said. And my last question to you, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away?
So the first one is to stay in integrity with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So integrity for me is aligning your actions, behaviors, what you do against your values and your belief system.
Yeah.
So if you say that I believe in trust, it's like, then you have to be trustworthy, right? I think the two things that will kill the human race ultimately are ego and greed. And as I've become more authentic as a human and more vulnerable as a human and as a leader, I've evolved and grown to places that are just really wonderful, right? And I've found happiness and fulfillment by being in integrity to myself, just being true to myself. So that's the first one. Second one is anything is possible, like literally anything. There is, and by the way, anyone can achieve anything. I am not a unique, special human being. No one is on this planet. And the more people you meet, like Richard Branson or the Queen or whoever it may be, you just realize that they're people like we are, right? And everyone else. There's no lack of resources in this world either. There's no lack of knowledge. There's no lack of money. There's no lack of oxygen. There's literally no lack of anything. We just need to work out how we want to go and do something and how it's achieved. Yeah. So anything is possible. That's my second one. And then finally, life is hard for everyone, right? Everyone is on their own journey, right? And everyone has bumps. Everyone has failures. And no matter what we see, and I love it, you know, the phrase of like, don't judge anyone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. Fulfillment comes through, for me, sharing our journey with others, and particularly as a leader, creating that journey through my team, right? And knowing that there are going to be days that I want to bang my head against the wall and days that I want to drink champagne and everything in between. Life is hard for everyone, but if we have that inner conviction and belief that we can ultimately achieve what we want to achieve, we can do it, no matter how hard that day, that week, that month might look, or whatever challenge that we've got in this world.
Well said. And on that note, Steve, and your three amazing milestones, that stay in integrity with yourself. Anything is possible. No one is unique. There is no lack of resources in the world. Everyone has a right to everything that is available in the world. And your third one, which is so true, life is hard for everyone. Don't feel pity about yourself. Go out and do what is point number two, that anything is possible. Thank you for talking to me about your incredible journey to the bronze medal at 2008 Beijing Olympics. You know, you said you came third. I say there are only three people who made it in the world. So I would say the perspective is very different when I talk to someone who's a Bay or an Olympic medalist. Thank you for also talking to me about this amazing story. And I think I will always remember it, which you say that as you're standing at the start line, thinking of the 6 minutes to glory or being forgotten, that's such a powerful statement. Thank you also for talking to me about Navigator and how you built this organization and pivoted it. I think it's a great lesson for startups on how before the pandemic you were doing something different and how you pivoted so easily and so well. And when I say easily, I don't mean easily. I know there must have been a lot of pain in the transition, but it's been such an honor speaking to you. Thank you again for this amazing conversation and good luck.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.